Welcome to the Invest with Clarity podcast, where you will learn how success in investing, as in life, is the result of absolute clarity. Mark Pearson of Nepsis in Minneapolis, Minnesota, shares his passion for portfolio management and commitment to transparency and communication to allow investors to fully understand what they own and why, bringing them to clarity in their investments. And now, here are your co-hosts, Matt Halloran and Mark Pearson.
Hello and welcome to another podcast with Nepsis and Mark Pearson. Mark has said this statement before on a number of podcasts that he and I have done together, which is volatility creates opportunity. And Mark, when we were preparing for the podcast today, you had said that in Financial Advisor magazine, that you had seen an insane statistic that really kind of couches the discussion we're going to have today.
Yes. The headline from June 22nd, Financial Advisor magazine, market volatility may be behind 47% increase in FINRA cases. 47%?
Okay. So since 08, the market has seemingly just continued to go up. Is this because people have just gotten fat, dumb, and lazy and are expecting a ridiculous performance? Is that part of it, or have we just lost sight of what a market really is, or both?
You ask great questions, Obi-Wan Kenobi. I think it's a combination of multiple things. I think anytime there's a problem, and I do think there's a problem on Wall Street with this, and of course that'll probably get me yelled at by people, but there's multiple factors that I think get behind that. But I think that when you look at a headline like market volatility may be behind 47% rise in FINRA cases, I think you have to take a step back and say, why would volatility? Because first of all, frankly, if the advisor has done what they're supposed to do, which is either in the broker dealer world, a suitability questionnaire, right?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And in the RIA world, a fiduciary questionnaire,
right. Mm-hmm.
The client has spoken about what their thought process is regarding risk. Now, I got a headline pulled up on Business Insider right here from April 6th of 2015. We talk a lot about this on our radio show. It says, Buffett, volatility is not the same thing as risk, and investors who think it is will cost themselves money.
Hmm.
As we often tell people, volatility creates opportunity, mm-hmm, because it allows you to buy something on sale. Now, there's no guarantees, right? But if you have an investment process with an appropriate asset allocation, that should minimize those types of risks. But many investors construed volatility as risk. And you know what, Matt? Why shouldn't they? Because all they hear all day long is commercials about index funds, index funds, index funds, cheap, 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 cheap,
mm-hmm,
low cost this, low cost that, low cost buy this super cheap, we're cheaper than this guy, blah, 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 index, no one outperforms the index, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's false narratives,
mm-hmm,
and it's false promises. And what Wall Street doesn't address is the value of leadership. I often say that in the financial services business, the job of a financial advisor, because most financial advisors, sorry for those listening, most of them are not money managers.
Right.
If you pick mutual funds and ETFs, you're an asset allocator.
Mm-hmm.
You are not a money manager.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so a lot of advisors, I think, live under the false narrative that they think they're money managers, when they don't even know what they own and why they own it. So when your question is great, because I think there's multiple factors. I think Wall Street does not talk about the power of volatility and the opportunity it creates, because no one wants people to turn it off because people think that volatility is risk. But that's an incorrect statement.
Sure.
I would say what's more risky than volatility, Matt, is not knowing what you own and why you own it in the first place, and how it frankly impacts your portfolio. I mean, let's be serious for a second here. It's now June 22nd, this is written. In January, the S&P went up, I don't know, 5, 6, 7% right out of the gate, mm-hmm, start of the year,
mm-hmm,
right? And then it went through a correction and went down a total of about, I think we were down about 13% from the top to the bottom.
Okay.
most people don't know that historically, except for the last few years, I'm not going to have the exact number right. I have to have Chuck on to help me with this. But on average years, the market has about a 13 to 15% swing. Huh. So we've just had a normal historic swing, but people have gotten lackadaisical. People have gotten just complacent in the idea, oh, gee, my portfolio should just go up every month. They've forgotten about 2008. They've forgotten about 2011. They forgot about 1987. They forgot about 1996. People have short memories.
Right.
Particularly the younger group who wants to sit there and have robo this and robo that, AI making their investment decisions for them. Mm-hmm. And I've always told you, investing is both scientific and art.
That's right.
It's an art and a science.
Okay. I need to just rewind a couple of things here. Somebody, and I'm going to leave that out there, is taking advantage of this misconception that volatility is risk. Those people who understand it fundamentally like you do, because the operational definition of both of them are different. They're not interchangeable words. So there are people on Wall Street. You said that there's a problem on Wall Street. Well, part of the problem that I'm seeing in listening to what you're saying right now is there are people who know what you know, understand what Nepsis means in their lives, and they're taking advantage of it.
Yep.
People are making money on this, dude. I mean, that's the world we live in.
Yes.
Now.
Touche.
Well, it's okay. It's okay to make money on this. But you have to understand, for every time that you're going to try to make money, there's an opportunity that you could be losing money. But that's not volatility. Okay.
Correct.
So how do we combat this? I mean, obviously, you're doing this podcast. You have a great radio show that you've got lots and lots of listeners to. You're out there preaching the idea of investing with clarity all the time. But how do we grab investors by the shoulders and give them the good old baby shake and say, hey, you need to look at this differently?
Well, it's a great question. You know, I think that certainly I would love to have a larger platform to do that. But to be blunt and frank and humble about it, the man who's best for that is Warren Buffett. And for years and years and years, Warren Buffett has stated the claim about volatility, not necessarily being risk, and that volatility creates opportunity to take advantage of buying more on sale.
Mm-hmm.
I think the fundamental difference between what Warren Buffett and I have in common, and is different than many investors, is that Warren Buffett and I invest in individual companies.
Right.
And most investors out there are in what I would call the rat race, so to speak, of this old idea of modern portfolio theory, which we'll address on another show, because I think there is some validity to it to a certain level. But I think that whole process has created a marketplace for mutual funds and exchange-traded funds of a multitude of different strategies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the old KISS principle probably is the best way to invest.
Sure.
Keep it simple, stupid.
Right.
And I think that the investment world has gotten very convoluted. It's gotten complicated. I think it's gotten intimidating for investors. I think that many investors want to stay away from understanding what they own and why they own it, because it intimidates them. But when volatility happens then, Matt, the investor doesn't have the ability to take advantage of buying more on sale because they own so many companies in their portfolio. They're mm-hmm. so over diversified, and they own mutual funds in their portfolio, and they don't have the flexibility to take advantage of buying more stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
When it's on sale. And so I think that the platform to fix that is the idea of helping investors understand what they own and why they own it.
Now, I'm going to play devil's advocate because I do this
please.
Every time. But so this 47% increase in these complaints or whatever might end up in court. So why doesn't the defense attorney just walk up to the microphone and say, excuse me, Judge, I really just have an opening statement. My opening statement is Warren Buffett. They drop the mic and they walk away because, I mean, the greatest investor of all times, I'm sorry, dude. I feel like my brain's exploding right now. What?
Don't you just love having me on?
I do. It's, you know, it's frustrating and challenging and delightful all at the same time, because you say things and then I have to think about them because that's my job. And then my brain hurts. And, you know, my brain hurts sometimes, Mark, even after we're done. I've talked to friends. I've talked to friends like, hey, dude, I interviewed this guy today. Listen to what he said. And my friend's like, whoa, that's heavy. It's like, yeah, dude, that's like that's even scratching the surface. Anyway, OK, so there's 47%. But the other thing is you're talking about earlier you had we're talking about low-cost ETFs and cost, fees, but you get what you pay for. And yes. And isn't this the same situation as, you know, if you go in and you want to pay a Hyundai price, but right. you want a Mercedes, it does not happen. Right. And it's the same thing with investment management, or am I way off, dude?
Agreed. No, you're totally on. And I may have made this statement on a previous podcast, but I talk about it on the radio all the time, and that is that people have been trained to think that the fees you pay are a cost, and the object is to pay as little as possible, right? Because it's a cost. But the reality is, the fact of the matter is, that when you pay somebody to oversee your money, you are investing in somebody to do a job for you.
Absolutely.
No different than me hiring employees. I make an investment in these people. Mm-hmm. I pay these people to do their job. I think if you really were to get to the root core of all this, if you really were to break this down to the bottom line, I think that what has to happen is there has to be greater education to the financial advisors in leadership, in leading the client.
Okay, let's break that down. What do you mean by that? Because I mean, really, give us a definition of what you mean by that. And then, if you wouldn't mind, I would like to know how your organization, who does work with financial advisors, how you help them achieve whatever that operational definition is.
So you went right down the lane I wanted you to go down.
Hey,
so
sometimes
look, at the end of the day, the financial advisor needs to communicate. I think generally speaking, my experience with financial advisors has been that when there's been volatility, when there's been uncertainty, when there's been nervousness, that they have a tendency to hide.
Oh, under the desks.
I do the direct opposite. I'm sending out email updates to the investors, to the financial advisors. I'm communicating with them on a regular basis. When I say leadership, I mean communication in a simple format to the client, keeping them engaged, and most importantly, setting reasonable expectations. I used to often use the Ted Koppel analogy. Years ago, Warren Buffett bought Dairy Queen. Mm-hmm. And Ted Koppel was interviewing Warren Buffett inside a Dairy Queen. Mm-hmm. And he asked Warren, you know, what's the key to your success? And Warren kind of does his little chuckle, and he's, you know, humbly says, Ted, it's low expectations. And I think that's brilliant.
Yeah.
I think that sometimes we you know, advisors want to and clients want to sit and listen to the prognostications, postulations, and speculations going on out there, and there are psychological ramifications to that. So you ask, what does Nepsis do? So every Friday I hold a manager's call where I talk to financial advisors only.
Okay.
And I tell the advisors, you know, what's going on within portfolios, what's happening within markets. I occasionally have Chuck give an update, but I'll give you a very, very classic example that no matter how much work you do on this, you're never going to fix the entire problem, right? This is almost like mission work, right?
Mm-hmm.
You go out and you know you're not going to save every person who listens to the story, who believes the story. In fact, some may even believe the story, but they're not ready to commit to it.
Right.
You know, in other words, they've seen over the years that, volatility historically has always created opportunity because the markets are near all-time highs right now, right? So when you think about the volatility factor, you're never going to save everybody, right?
Yes.
So I, for the last couple of weeks, have been on the horn on my Friday call because specifically in my own case, starting in November or December last year, we started buying three different Chinese companies in our portfolio. Because remember, we're a global asset allocation portfolio. Now, the emerging market indexes are actually, and international indexes are actually, a lot of them are down year to date right now, especially the EEM. And I started buying one stock after it went from 44 down to 27, we are 25, I think. We started buying at 27, 28. Today it's at 45, 47. A week ago, it was at 54. We started buying another stock that went from basically about, I think it was about 42 to 54, came all the way back to 44. We started buying it. This is during the correction in the spring, right? This is February and March. Started buying that stock. That stock hit 65 a couple days ago, now pulling back, right? These stocks have gone parabolic. And we started buying another one when it went public. Went public at 16. We started buying at 19. Today's stock's at 33, 34, but was at 45 last week. So at one time, our growth portfolios a week ago, before the market started this pullback this past week, were up about 9 to 11%, while the ACWI was actually down to up 1%. I mean, significant outperformance, right? So a client called one of our advisors and said, geez, my portfolio was down 4.5% last week. And the advisor emailed me and he said, is that right? Is it down 4.5%? I said, yeah, that's about right. I mean, the S&P's been down, I don't know, 2 to 3 percentage points in that time frame, two, whatever. I said, that's about right. But I said, the freaking portfolio from June 1st to now is up like 8%.
Right.
I mean, things don't go straight up. And so my point to that, Matt, is this, that no matter how much you preach about volatility creating opportunity, it can have some short-term, what I would refer to as good negative effects, to the point where stocks rebound so fast, they go so much higher that they do so well, they go parabolic, and then they go down because people take profits, because volatility does happen, right? And the investor doesn't focus on, geez, my portfolio is actually up this year, the markets are down. All they focus on is, gee, my portfolio is down 4.5% last week.
Right. Now, I don't know if everybody can hear this in your voice, and if they can't, I personally think they're insane, but or they're just flat out not paying attention. Listen, if your advisor is not on a mission, like Mark was just saying, this is a mission. This education, this philosophy, this investing with clarity is a mission that him and his entire team have. Go to your financial services professional and say, what is your mission? Not your mission statement. What is your mission? And if they're not able to give you an answer with the same level of passion, dedication, and excitement that you just heard from Mark, I think you need to reconsider. Was I not supposed to say that?
Yeah, that's thank you. That was very nice of you, number one. Number two, yes, this is my passion. And you talk about a platform. You know, we're building a platform using podcasting, using the radio, you know, doing interviews, putting out content on investwithclarity.com. I mean, even we changed our name from Nepsis Capital Management to Nepsis Inc. to better communicate what we're really about.
Absolutely.
Which is ultimate clarity. It's not just about managing money. It is about empowering individuals to have not just clarity in their investments, but clarity in their lives so that they can accomplish their financial goals. Because the reality is, if you've done the work up front to understand the tolerance for risk and the tolerance for volatility, and you have the understanding of what you own and why you own it, and you understand a lot of the characteristics that make up quote unquote a market, I think you're more suited to be able to stick to the knitting, so to speak, and be a successful investor in the long run.
Volatility. Wow, I just created a new word. Volatility creates opportunity. Maybe I should patent that. That's actually not bad. Anyway, so Mark, thank you very much for your leadership. Thank you very much for your thought leadership. And thank you very much for the education that we got today.
My pleasure. I appreciate visiting with you again, Matt.
If you know somebody who needs to hear this, all you have to do is click the share button right below the podcast. If you're listening to this on your mobile device, it's even easier. You basically click the little arrow looking button, and then you can share this with all of your friends and family and people that you know who need to hear somebody who is on a mission when it comes to being a financial services professional. If your financial advisor does not have the clarity, if they're not able to communicate with you what investing with clarity means and tell you what you own and why you own it, then you should probably sit down and have a conversation with somebody else. So for everybody at Nepsis, this is Matt Halloran. Thank you very much for your time today, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic. very soon.
The content discussed is for informational purposes only. It is not a solicitation or recommendation for any securities that may be mentioned herein. Advisory services offered through Nepsis, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor.